Hi, it's Dr. Craig here, and welcome to episode 192 of the podcast. Today, what I am going to do, and may do over the next coming weeks, is read you some chapters from my book, Self-Science, A Study of You by You. It's a guide to enhancing your everyday life. And it's been out for over a year now and has been really well received. And if you haven't got a copy, you can get one. You can just contact me directly. It's available on drcraigduncan.com.au, but it's also available on Amazon or wherever you get books. But anyway, this day I'm going to read you, it's chapter 3 from the book, and it's the chapter on sleep. If you've ever been on an interstate flight at 9 a.m. on a weekday, when people should be at their most alert, you'll realize that the majority of us are not getting enough sleep. Look around and you'll find that more than half of the passengers are catching up on some much-needed shut-eye. In my country of Australia, studies suggest up to 94% of the population is sleep-deprived, and the rest of the developed world is much the same. A lack of sleep has been identified as one of the major issues of our generation, associated with heart disease, stroke, and diabetes. Furthermore, there has been a relationship identified between poor sleep and obesity, and productivity in the workplace is significantly affected by sleep deprivation. So there is no better place to start than sleep if you're going to maximize your potential to perform. Sleep may or may not be an issue for you, but it's vital to analyze your sleep patterns and see if you are getting enough sleep, and that goes for both quantity and quality. Although the amount of sleep required is individualized, most of us require between 7 and 9 hours of good quality sleep. Unfortunately, this is extremely rare. It appears sleep is one important aspect of life that continues to be compromised. Historically, humans went to sleep not too long after sundown and woke up with the sun. But with the introduction of electricity and artificial light, this began to change. The introduction of electronic devices, from television to the mobile phone and to the tablet, has further compromised sleep. These days, we continue to surf the internet, and in particular social media, on our smartphones and tablets while the lights are out and we're rugged up in bed. So how is this affecting our sleep? The field of chronobiology is the study of the circadian rhythm and the functioning of the human body over a 24-hour period. What we know is that artificial or blue light has substantial impact on our desired circadian rhythm. Without getting too deep into the science, what we need in order to sleep is the lowering of the hormone cortisol and the production of the hormone melatonin. But if we are watching television, interacting on social media, or answering an email late at night, we are sending the wrong signals to our endocrine system. So what can we do? Firstly, it's important to have a sleep strategy. And the starting point of this is to identify a set time to go to bed. I'm not going to tell you exactly what that should be, because there will be exceptions, but in most cases it should be before 11 p.m. Now, if you need to be awake by 5 a.m, then 11 p.m. is too late, so it's more likely to be around 9 p.m. If you are working the night shift, you need to adapt accordingly. Once the bedtime is set, you can start working back to ensure the sleep is going to be of good quality. One thing that is vitally important is to avoid any screen time for at least an hour before bed, and that includes television. The reason being that the blue light coming from these screens is sending the wrong signal to the brain and the release of melatonin will be compromised. Many of you may be thinking that this is just not practical for you. And in that case, there is alternatives of wearing blue light blocking glasses or turning your screens onto night mode. Although this is an effective strategy from a light perspective, I don't believe that the mind will be at an optimal relaxed state if you're still fossicking around on the internet late at night. So the optimal strategy is to turn all screens off 60 minutes before bed. The next important aspect of your overall strategy is having good sleep hygiene, especially in regards to where you're sleeping. Keep electronics out of the bedroom, and yes, that means no TV inside those four walls. It also means leaving your phone in the lounge room or elsewhere. I know many people use their phones as an alarm clock, and my advice would be to buy an old school alarm clock so that your phone never enters your bedroom. The temptation to check your phone will be too great if it's lying beside you on the bedside table. It's also important that it is dark, especially for shift workers who need to sleep during the day, or those who live in parts of Europe where in summer there are very few hours of darkness. The temperature of the room is also vital. Ideally, the room should be around 18 degrees Celsius, and that equates to 64.4 degrees Fahrenheit. If you're sleeping with a partner, you will rarely have the same body temperature, and this can be a problem for some. Fortunately, technology now exists that enables the individualization of bed temperature, and there are many reports this can enhance sleep. Having the correct pillow or no pillow is also important, and this is often a process of trial and error, but important to get it right. It's also vital that the room is clean and comfortable, and that the major focus of the room is sleep. Before sleep, having a warm bath or shower can also be helpful, and I found that by reflecting on my day and writing in my nighttime journal, I rid my mind of some of those wild thoughts and can just concentrate on sleep. We'll talk more about journaling in a later chapter, but I can't stress enough that for some of you, getting worries out of your mind and onto paper will dramatically help to improve your sleep. Reading a chapter of a book with a dim light, just like our grandparents did, will also help some, and it's certainly something I look forward to. Sleep is a complex part of life and can be enhanced with a simple strategy. Just by having a set bedtime and waking time, you will see improvement, and by improving sleep, you will perform better on a day-to-day basis. As always, you need to go through the steps in the Affirm model, starting with assessing your situation, so ask yourself these simple questions about sleep. Where am I presently in respect to my sleep quantity and quality? Where do I want to be? Why am I not already there? These are important questions for people to ask themselves, because we need to be really strong on self-assessment. Once you've answered these questions, start to plan ways to get to where you want to be. Then implement and regularly review your goals and achievements, remembering to continue to monitor your progress along the way. If you implemented nothing else from this book but an effective sleep strategy, you will see major improvements in your overall life. So that's chapter 3 from Self-Science, and I wanted to start with that because, you know, I always talk about sleep being the foundation of performance. In the book, we also have some questions and answers, and here was a question. Many people are night owls. They enjoy the time of evening when it's quiet, everyone else is in bed, and they get some time to themselves. They feel their creative juices are flowing at that time of night, but they still have to get up to work the next morning. So they're not getting enough sleep on a day-to-day basis. How can these people satisfy that perceived need to be up late while still getting enough sleep? That's a really great question, because you can be a night owl. Over time with sleep research, it's been identified that there's 3, and even in later research, you know, 4 sort of concepts of what our chronobiology is. There's the night owl, that morning lark. You might be that wakes up at 5 a.m. in the morning. And then there's the third bird, which is more the normal person that, or the normal range of people, or the most range of people that fall into that idea of waking up around 8 a.m. each morning. So the night owl really does exist. And it's something that our lives are not built around, is it? Because you still have to get up to work. So what I think is first to identify whether you are a night owl, because many people think they are a night owl, but in fact, they're pretty rare. Our internal body clocks are set via a combination of nature, habit, and exposure to light, and there is a way of testing whether you're a lark or a night owl, which is called the Munich Chronotype Questionnaire. Around 20% of people, and you can find that questionnaire online, are night owls, and something like 10% are larks or early birds. The rest are in between, or what we often call third birds. there's a trend with these new age entrepreneurs to be really strong on the idea that successful people should wake up early. And so they force themselves to do that, even though very few of them naturally early risers. You might see that on the net. You've got to get up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. And I've tried that, but I don't like it because it doesn't fit in well with me. So I can't do it. Larks are very, very rare. So if you feel you want to make a habit of waking early, you really need to make sure you're getting to bed at the appropriate time. Meanwhile, people who are night owls might get their best work done after midnight, but that can't work in the long term if you've got to get up at 7 a.m. So you must first need to put yourself in the assessment phase of the Affirm model. And the Affirm model I talk about earlier in the book, and that's a model I developed. And basically it's a process. Like, what we first do is analyze the situation. We then formulate a plan. We forecast the outcome of that plan, what we expect to happen. We implement the plan. We review the plan, but at all stages we're monitoring what's actually going on. So you need to ask yourself a few questions. If it turns out that you are a true night owl, you may want to ask yourself, well, does it really make sense that I'm in a career or job where I've got to get up early? That's the bigger picture. But in the short term, ask yourself, why am I up? What am I doing? Can it be done in another part of the day? And if not, what can you do to make sure you're still getting enough sleep? If you want the peace and quiet, can you find that in some other part of the day? Can you take yourself away without staying up until 1 a.m.? Can you manage it by having an afternoon nap? And naps are really important. You know, after lunch, and that having a half-hour nap can really benefit people that are not getting enough sleep during the night. Either way, this is something that has to be addressed, because if you compromise on sleep, you compromise your health. You really need to have an effective soundproof strategy for getting enough sleep. Make a plan, implement it, see how you go, and then review it while constantly monitoring your progress as you do. So look, there is so much we can talk about sleep, and I could have an entire podcast just on sleep. The entire podcast, not on human performance, but just on sleep, and have episode after episode of it. But really, I've got to say, check in with your sleep all the time. Even me, that thinks about it constantly, every day I'll monitor my sleep and see, okay, where am I at? Like last night, I only got 6.5 hours sleep. I need to get that higher. It's just the work that I'm doing at the moment, but that's no excuse. So do I need an afternoon nap to make sure that I'm productive for the rest of the day? That's the question I'll ask myself. So that's the podcast for today. I hope you enjoyed that. And if you've got any questions on sleep or any other part of human performance, just contact me. Again, if you're interested in purchasing the book Sleep Self-Science, it's a really easy read. It's been a lot of positive reviews on it. It's only 150 pages long, and it's one that can make all the difference. Anyway, have an amazing day. Go and make the world a better place, and speak again soon.